last few days that I wanted to bring forth and a thought on prayer. If I were to entitle this anything, it would be, Why Should Christians Pray? We know we're supposed to pray. We get that. But sometimes we get tired and sometimes we get discouraged. Prayer is work. Sometimes we get tired of the tears. And often we carry intense burdens that are heavy. But we need to pray. Jonah chapter 1. I want to draw our attention to verse 1. We'll read the first 6 verses and get into what the Lord has for us. The word of God says this in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness has come up before me. God sees it all. And I'm so glad that God speaks and God directs, and my heart's desire is God would just direct us all that simple. That simply, that we would just see that. Verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. I don't view that as a negative thing. I'm glad our God comes after us. I'm glad he doesn't let us go. And I want to say this, I've been on the side of chastening from my Lord. I didn't enjoy it at the time, but I thank him now for it. He does it because he loves us. The Lord made that wind for that prophet. And tonight, let's not look down on him. I used to do that as a young man. And then you experience some faults and failings of your own. And I thought, thank the Lord, there's not fingers pointing at me. Verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, little g, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down in the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Now here's the focal point, verse 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. Arise, call upon thy God. Why should Christians pray? I know in a technical sense, Jonah wasn't a Christian, but he was a believer in the Lord. He exercised faith in the Lord. No doubt he looked forward to a coming Messiah by faith, as they did in the Old Testament. As I was thinking about this, I was reminded of John Knox, and I texted a friend about him today. I was stirred by the testimony how at the age of 85, an eyewitness to the preaching event that took place saw a decrepit old man get behind the pulpit. Two men had to carry him up behind that pulpit. But halfway through the service, the man that witnessed the message said that 85-year-old man almost beat that pulpit to pieces with his intensity and passion for the Lord. John Knox was a reformer, and I thank God for the reformers. Listen, we might not agree with every figure of church history, but thank God for those that fought for truth, and we're so privileged to have all the truth that we have now. But they made much of the little truth that they have, and I think we can all appreciate that. John Knox was a preacher of the gospel, and Mary Queen of Scots didn't like the gospel message, and she said to him one time, The next time you preach the gospel, I'm going to encourage my archers to fill you full of arrows. And his response to her was, spare no arrows. Like, you can't believe this. And here's the testimony of that queen regarding John Knox. I fear John Knox's prayer more than an army of 10,000 men. Can I tell you why? Because he had more than 10,000 backing him. We don't recognize how great the host of the Lord is. There's no doubt in my mind the Lord is present here this very hour. And I would submit unto you that where I'm at in my life right now, I'd rather be a great prayer warrior than a great preacher or a great witness for the Lord, because I believe great things come through prayer. We chase the byproducts of things and not the one who blesses. Everything comes through prayer. I believe that there was unction in the pulpit because we prayed on Sunday. I believe that God softened hearts and the Lord's worked and the Lord is working. Why should Christians pray? And the whole thought behind this tonight is to stir our hearts to continue to pray. The Lord is working. Yeah, it's painful to see sinners not repent, but God's not done yet. I'm just going to keep praying. I wish it was just a one-time prayer and the Lord blessed it. Listen, I believe God can do all things. I recognize that, but our prayers aren't just for us. Our prayers are for others. And the Lord shows this from the life of Jonah. And as I was meditating on this book, I just saw some things that I think would be an encouragement to us. Why should we pray? Number one, I see this quickly here. We should pray for God's will to be fulfilled in our own personal lives as well as fellow believers, because believers struggle with the will of God. Look at what it says in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Verse 2, God said, arise, go to Nineveh. Verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. If we'd be honest, we'd say the will of God oftentimes is hard. My sister, thank you for your testimony. Love you. Preach just real. Isn't that a blessing? Just real. Here's where it's at. We're scared to pray that way. I'm glad you do. We need that shake up here. I'm glad it's just so real. I don't know what to do. Who does? Okay. We need the Lord. The will of God isn't always easy. Here's a prophet wrestling with what the Lord wants him to do. And what a reminder for us to pray one for another, because we all need to fulfill the will of God. Every single one of us. There's good in the will of God and there's bad things we experience in the will of God, but the will of God must be fulfilled. And the only way that's going to happen is if we pray. Who prayed for Jonah? You know, I thought about that. Who prayed for Jonah? Blessed time. Blessed nation. God, you want me to leave all of that and go where? It'd be a hard sell if you weren't sold out. It's difficult at times, and that's why we need to pray. We need to pray for the will of God, for our lives, and for fellow believers. We know that God wants us to obey his word. We know that there are consequences. The biggest consequence that Jonah faced wasn't the whale or wasn't just the difficulty of watching something he loved die. It was just being separated from the presence of the Lord. And I think if we'd be honest again, I'll use that statement. The thing we miss the most when we're out of the will of God is the presence of God. I believe it drives men and women to insanity. The presence of the Lord. There's nothing like it when you experience it. I like what Bunyan said. Bunyan said, he who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him the rest of the day. Jonah ran from the presence of the Lord, and you find God working behind the scenes, but oh, the misery of such an experience. The second thing here, why we should pray. We should pray because believers can get complacent while living in a world that is lost and dying. And I appreciate the brokenness and the honesty. We've got 600 tracks coming. Got some titles that folks have selected. What am I doing here? Perfect track for young people. How do I get to heaven? Have yourself a good day. You know, if you're saved, you can have a good day every day. But if you don't know the Lord, it's not a good day. It's not a good day. There's some helpful stuff for Christians to help them in their walk, and praise the Lord for that. Look at what the word says in Jonah chapter 1, verse 4. The Lord sends out a great wind. Verse 5, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. And what do you find Jonah doing? You find him sleeping. Totally oblivious to what those men are going through. Someone said this about complacency. Complacency is a blight that saps energy, dulls attitudes, and causes a drain on the brain. The first symptom is satisfaction with things as they are. The second is a rejection of things that might be. Good enough becomes today's watchword and tomorrow's standard. Complacency makes people fear the unknown, mistrust the untried, and abhor the new. Like water, complacent people follow the easiest course. Downhill, they draw false strength from looking back. Jonah was complacent. He was asleep and didn't hear the cries of perishing men. Verse 4 explains a tempest, which was, for all intents and purposes, a violent typhoon, a violent hurricane. But Jonah was not spiritually stirred by the plea of a perishing man. Verse 6 tells us, the shipmaster came to him and said, "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" Sleeper is one who's in a dead sleep. He appears to be like a dead man. Okay, he was deep in la-la land, no concern whatsoever. And this shipmaster who had the care of the ship and all the cargo and all the people was burdened. And he says, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? How can you sleep in a time like this?" And we need to pray, because oftentimes we get here, we can get complacent and be dull to the needs of those around us. I notice this fact here, that Jonah only gave his testimony when he was pressed for it. I've been there. I'll be honest with you, I've been there. All this is going on in verse 7, and they said, everyone to his fellow, verse 1, chapter 1, "Come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." Imagine this. Pagans are saying, who's responsible for the evil? And it's actually the Christians' fault this time. The believers' fault this time. And look at what the word says in verse 8. "Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. We've determined it's not us, it's you. Why is this going on? What is thine occupation? What do you do for a living? And whence comest thou? Where are you from? What is thy country, and of what people art thou?" They had to press him. "Come on, buddy, tell us why we're going through this. What do you do for a living? Where are you from? Who are your people?" In verse 9, "And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." So your God does these kinds of things. Yes, he does. Verse 10, "Then were the men exceeding afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them." Why would you do such a thing with a God that has this much power? Why would you defy such a God? We don't even dare to defy our gods. Why would you do this? Me and God are kind of having a fight right now. You ever been there? Thank you. Yeah? Yeah, Lord, I don't think so. Man, the storms that have come in my life. Kids, Dad, what's going on? Go play. Okay? When it gets bad enough, we'll get it fixed. We can get complacent. We're not making fun of Jonah. We're not making fun of one another, but we get that way, and that's why we need to pray. Another thought here, we ought to pray for the restoration of backslidden Christians. You don't find the term backsliding in the New Testament. It's an Old Testament word that's primarily found in the book of Jeremiah. But those who stray from the truth, that's what we classify as a backslider. And Jonah was backslidden. I'm reminded of the story of a preacher that I hold in high admiration. He was a young pastor in the country, and one day this vehicle came speeding into the parking lot, gravel parking lot. It's kind of one of those sleepy days in the summer. A man comes running out of the vehicle into the church. "Preacher, pray, preacher, pray, preacher, pray." And he says, "What's going on? Do I know you? You don't know me, but there's been an accident up the road and the family's mangled." And the dad asked me if I'd pray, and he says, "Preacher, I'm too backslidden to pray. Would you pray?" I don't want to be that way. I don't want rote prayers in the church, going through the motions. No, let's be real. God is really working, and he's going to stir us up to do it. And it's not my intention to scare anybody with that, but I get to simply follow what the God wants and be sensitive to that. And I always pray that, Lord, if you've got to come across like thunder, do it. If you want brokenness, God, do it. If you want weeping, God, just do it. Lord, but you manifest yourself the way that you want. But we see it here, backslidden. He knew that he was disobeying the Lord. The word tells us in verse 12. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. He knew it. He knew it. He knew what the Lord expected of him. Jonah was chastened because of his disobedience. He ended up in the whale. And that's why we need to pray. Let's all thank God that we have a faithful God that'll correct us when we need it, but let's be mindful to pray for those that are saying ouch in our congregation from time to time. Let's be sensitive of that. Let's be sensitive to those things, and that's why we need to pray. Life is difficult, even with the Lord. We have flesh. We have frail human bodies. And the fact of the matter is that we all need the Lord. It's hard sometimes. When we're young, we don't understand the aches and pains of senior saints. And senior saints sometimes can't overlook the foolishness of younger saints. We often don't understand each other. But thank God we have a God that knows all of us and knows what we need. And that's why we need to pray. We need to pray because from time to time we can all slide back. And then I see this here. We ought to pray for understanding in the will of God. Jonah didn't understand what God was doing. He was mad at God. He was frustrated with God. He was prejudiced towards people. But let me tell you something, he was still a believer in spite of those things. And as we gather in God's house, we can be that way. Lord, what are you doing? Lord, I don't understand it. You know, it's hard to understand why we have to suffer the consequences of foolish decisions made in the political arena. It's hard to fathom that at times. But Father, give us the wisdom. That's why we need to pray for our prime minister and pray for our premier, that the Lord might give them wisdom and work through them and help them. It's amazing how God often uses the things of this earth to teach us spiritual truths. I think as we gather here to pray, there are things that stir us when we pray. I like praying with the church family because I hear burdens of other people and it stirs me. It wakes me up spiritually. How long have we prayed for Nicole? And the Lord allowed that as a rallying prayer for this body of believers, right? And now God is working. And now you, sister, you're here. I prayed for you. Remember talking in the parking lot with your sister? Made it a personal goal. Yet I didn't do anything. And God brought you. And now we pray. And now we say, Lord, who else? Which other broken ones, Lord? Who are you going to bring next? Who that we can love? That's how it is. You know, I was thinking about the tracks that are ordered, thinking about this coronavirus. Everyone freaking out, no hope, locking themselves in their homes. What an opportunity to get the gospel message of hope. You're safe with Jesus. What a message. What an opportunity for us to shine forth, to be righteousness, to honor the Lord. We need to pray. People experience difficulties. The will of God is hard. It's easy to get complacent. Many shrink back instead of moving forward. And yet the Lord will give wisdom for what he has willed for our lives if we'll just simply pray. Let's pray. Just coming to church, we find reason enough every week to pray. We look around and we say, pray. You look across the street, you drive into this parking lot, you know you should pray already. They need help. We need to pray. We watch people come to church unsaved. We need to pray. We watch people go through difficulties, pray. Arise, call upon thy God. You think of this lost city, what are they crying out? Looking for hope, and we've got it. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace and your goodness. Lord, what a privilege to know you. Just to experience your fullness, your direction, your guidance. Lord, thank you for how you led this service. And Lord, continue to lead as you see fit. Father, the fact of the matter is you've equipped all of us. We just don't realize it. Help us, Lord, not to depend upon the arm of the flesh. Lord, there's so many dear ones here that are burdened about being a witness. Lord, the fact of the matter is, apart from you, we're all scared. Oh, may we have your love for people and your boldness. Lord, may you direct us as a family, Lord, who to talk to and when. It doesn't have to be so robotic. Father, help us, I pray. We pray for those that came Sunday, Lord, would you bring them back and allow us to love them and help them? Lord, you heard the requests that were offered up by your saints, Lord, this day. Would you show yourself strong on our behalf? And Lord, may we testify of what you've done on Sunday when you come through. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your goodness and your graciousness unto us. Father, be with us, Lord, as we leave this place. I pray for your holy hedge protection around every single family member. Watch over us, Lord. Keep us in your love, your grace. Guard our minds and our hearts. Lord, the devil just wants to pick on us. Lord, and he picks on, Lord, the tenderest ones. I pray you shut his mouth up, Lord. Lord, I hate him. He's such a deceiver. Thank you for the strength that we have in you. May each dear one here recognize the power that you have, the access to that power we have as we go to you in prayer. We love you, Lord, and we ask that you dismiss us with your blessing. We pray this in Jesus' precious name.